Amen. This morning we want to share with you from a passage of scripture that's found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. A very familiar passage. You probably heard many share this passage. We want to turn there this morning as we again talk about joy. Joy. Amen. Acts chapter 16, as a matter of fact, three verses. We want to thank Reverend Givens for opening up in our devotion. Thank Brother Joe for the music this morning and the prayer. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosed. Verse 24, and when he, the jailer, had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when he, the jailer, had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Thus ends the reading of God's word. I want you to look at somebody before you take your seat and ask them, did you bring your keys? You may be seated. I want to talk about the joy key. The joy key. On last week, we shared with you the message, Restoring the Joy. And there are a lot of people who've lost their joy. They've lost their zeal for life. God didn't put you in this world to live an up and down life as far as having joy. Because as we discovered on last week, joy does not come from you and I. It is a gift that God gives you. It is a gift that he imparts into your heart so that you can live this life recognizing him, but also having from him that joy that makes your life complete. We read the passage in Psalm 16, which said that in the presence of God is what? Fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Is the joy missing out of your life? Has it somehow been displaced because of maybe circumstances that you're facing? Well, today I want to share with you about this thing called a joy key. You got a joy key. You got something that you can open up and say, God, I need your joy. And it unlocks the power of God. It unlocks the grace of God that allows you to smile again, to have his peace, and to know that God is in control of your life situation. Whether he changes the conditions or not, that's not what's most important. God needs to change the inside of you. He will change the inside of you, and God will pour his joy into your heart. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into a situation where joy was needed. Joy was needed. As a matter of fact, we look at this thing called joy, and without this joy in your life, your spiritual failure is almost certain without having joy in your life. Now, I don't want to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have spent days, sometimes weeks, maybe even months, searching for joy? Yeah, we've all been at that place in our life where we recognize, man, I've lost my joy. Well, now, what's the indication of losing joy in your home? When you have missing joy in your home, there's a lot of sadness. A lot of people, they don't have this laughter and they don't have this real deep communication because of the fact that they don't have joy. What's an indication that you don't have joy in your church? Well, you see, people, they're not communicating. They're not really rejoicing. They're not singing from their heart. They're not praying with power because they're missing joy. I've had moments in my life where I've lost my joy. Something happened, and it wasn't that joy just disappeared. I couldn't find it. As a matter of fact, We get so wrapped up into what we're going through that we forget that God gives us something to go through it with. Amen. How many of you will agree with that? Amen. See, you've got to look to God in these moments. You can't look to your own self. Because if you look at your own mind, maybe it could have been you that got your own self in trouble. Amen. Or it could have been the fact that you're a victim of what somebody else did. Don't let others control your joy. Don't let them do that. Don't give them that power. Don't give them that energy over your life. Because what it will do, it will cause you now to not use the gifts that God has given you. All right. We're going to see a perfect example of two individuals that found themselves in a strange city, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, wanting other people to find what they had, and because they did the right thing, it landed them in a Philippian jail. That's right. If ever was a place that you could complain and say, this is not right, it would be when you're locked up, locked out, and feeling that all hope is gone, but that's where joy can come in. Amen. How many of you find that today? Amen. So as you look at this, I want to just go back and for a moment think about what is it that happens to us when we need to find our joy. So we're going to talk a little bit about finding joy, but then we're going to talk about using the joy, applying it. You know, we often say, I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart, but are you using it? All right. Something happens and then we get keeled over. You know, we get to the place where now I'm just not knowing what to do about life. Well, you need to find the joy, but then you need to find a way of using the joy. How do you apply it? And then lastly, how do you share that joy with others? I'm one that believes in laughter. Amen. And whenever I go through a bad time in my life, I do not want to hear depressing music. Amen. You know, I don't want to hear about my dog died. I don't want to hear this sad singing the blues types of thing. I want to hear about the joy that can come to me. You need that, especially when you're going through those difficult moments. And we're living in stressful times. I mean, you would believe that. We're living in very difficult times. And I hate to tell you this, but no matter, I know that the elections are coming up. No matter who you elect, they can't control your joy. All right? So don't look for, well, if a certain political party, they win, then I'll have joy. I hate to tell you this, they're going to disappoint you too. Amen. But when you turn to God, when you say, God, you are my joy. Amen. You are my peace. Yes. You're the hope of my life. Yes. That's when God will come in, and no matter what you're going through, he'll dry tears from your eyes. He'll make you smile again. He'll let you know that life is worth the living because you got Jesus. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this, let's turn and let's find out some of these lessons that we can learn from Paul and Silas. Now, how did they get in jail? Well, they were sharing the gospel. They were talking about the goodness of God. And then all of a sudden, they run into this situation where this demon-possessed girl comes up and her masters or her people that controlled her life, they were using her for this thing called fortune-telling. Another sermon for another time. Okay, but Paul recognized that all she was doing is being used of the devil. So they rebuked the demon that was in her, that was controlling her, and set her free from that. And when her masters or her employers learned that they couldn't gain any more money from it, that's when they said, these guys got to go. And the scripture said that Paul and Silas, because they had prayed for someone's freedom, they had prayed for that person's deliverance from being controlled by others, that they were beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. And then after they had beaten them, they threw them into jail. Now here's where you find joy. You've got to learn that lesson number one, your joy, listen to this, your joy is not controlled by your circumstances. You got to understand that when circumstances change, your joy does not need to change with it. Life situations doesn't turn on or off your joy. Here they were, thrown in stocks, in the bonds, in the inner prison, and yet their joy was in there with them. Are y'all listening? The three Hebrew boys that were standing up for what they believed in, their joy was in the fiery furnace. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, don't wait for situations and circumstances to all of a sudden turn the corner and you say, oh, great God, thank God Almighty. Now, that can happen. That can happen. But here's what you need to think about. Are you going to see the power of God every time that he delivers you from something? Or will you see the greater power of God when he delivers you through something? Right. Now, just for a show of hands, how many of you have been through something? And you're still living. Amen. You've been through something and you still have peace of mind. You've been through something. You've lost things. You have had things to be destroyed in your life, and yet it didn't destroy you. How were you held together? You were held together by the power of an almighty God who loves you without limit. You didn't lose that joy because circumstances don't have control of your joy. So the first lesson is, joy does not wait for a change in conditions. Right in that Philippian jail, that's where they understood that God's promises fail not, that his mercy is new every morning. Praise God. When you got up this morning, God had brand new mercy. God had brand new grace. God is saying to you, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to show my joy because I will rejoice and be glad in it. So get rid of that sad face. God's getting ready to do something in your life. Get rid of that heart of desperation, that heart that says, oh God, if something happens today, I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't know what you're going to do, but God knows what he's going to do. He's a way maker. He's a burden bearer. He's a friend to all that call upon him. So they learned that joy was not controlling their situation. So what did they do? They learned how to use the joy. Here's what they did. When they got into the jail, rather than getting down and saying, oh man, Silas, I don't know what to do about this. We're in a jail in a strange city. Nobody's going to pay our bail. What are we going to do? Paul didn't say that. And Silas didn't say that. They said, we're going to sing hymns. We're going to pray to our God. Notice this now. Listen to what I'm saying here. The second lesson is, how do you apply it? We say, okay, let me just get alone. Let me get all by myself. And that's when, maybe I can pull it back together. They already had it together. They already had it together. So what do they do? All right, listen to what the verse says. At midnight. That's called the devil's hour, right? At midnight, when it gets the darkest, when it gets the gloomiest, you know, problems always magnify themselves at night. How many of y'all found that? Bad news, when that phone rings at midnight, you say, oh, Lord, here it comes, right? All right, so while they're at midnight in the jail, they begin to pray and to sing hymns. Why do we sing hymns in the church? Is it because black folk can sing? We sing hymns in the church because it reminds us of the goodness of God. When you sing, something happens to your mind. When you start singing, you start thinking about something else. Now, I'm going to tell you a lesson that was learned by black folk. When they were out in the fields and they were having to pick cotton that they didn't own. Come on now, let's be for real. When they were out there pulling tobacco that they didn't own, amen, they sang. It made the day go a whole lot better. And I'm not saying this is a racial thing, but it did happen to us, amen. And some of us forget that that's a part of our history, amen. I don't make excuses for it, and I don't complain about it, but we learned a song. Now what's happening to us? We've lost our song. Amen, somebody. You forgot the message that God can make a way out of no way. You forgot the message where they used to sing about, if I trust in the Lord, I can be on the battlefield for my Lord. We forgot that message. The next time you're down, just pick up an old song. Like Reverend Gibbons said, I can't sing. And we know he can't sing. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have a song in his heart. Are y'all with me today? When you can sing your way through a situation, you know that God is in control. But look at what the verse says. Look at what the verse says. When they sang to God, the prisoners were listening. Now, at midnight, when folks wanted everybody to be quiet and shut up, they were listening. Why were they listening? Because of what they were singing about. I don't know whether they had sung the hymns that were found or the psalms that were found, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I love when those psalms are put to music. Maybe they got on this one, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light." I don't know what song they were singing, but the prisoners were listening. We don't need a church that will shut up. We need a church that will speak up. We need a church that can sing, "God is still real. Even though we talk about fake stuff, I got a real God. And he's a way maker." I don't know what song they were singing, but it said the prisoners heard them, which brings us to that second lesson. Joy thrives in a worshiping heart. When you are worshiping the Lord, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." Now, what's your option? What's your option? You said, "Preacher, what's our option?" Well, if you don't have joy, then you got sadness. Amen. Or you got depression. Or you're mad at folk now. "I'm mad at you." They could have gotten in jail and say, "I'm mad at these folk. They beating us up when we're only trying to." I'm mad. As a matter of fact, we got a whole lot of angry folk in our country. Amen. But the fact that you got up out of your bed this morning, that God gave you another day, you ought to say, "Thank God for now. I'm going to forget about folk. I'm going to forget about people. And I'm going to think about the goodness of the Lord that blesses me in the land of the living." I wish somebody would clap their hands and say, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, he's good." You got to have a joyful heart. What's the option of not having a joyful heart? Well, a sad heart, a gloomy heart. Is that how you want to live your life? "Well, I'm getting old now. My body can't do as much." God knew that, but he still gave you a song. "I got all these aches and pains." Well, you can either moan to your aches and pains, or you can thank God for what you still can use. Amen. "I can't barely walk." But at least you're walking. Amen. When you think about his goodness and his mercy, have a joyful heart. So lesson one, don't let the circumstances control the joy. But lesson two talks about applying the joy, having that joyful heart. Why do you come to church every Sunday? You come so that God can empty out the mess, the dross, and the all of the stuff that you've collected all week, working around folk that got an attitude. They start cussing, and then you think about cussing. Yeah, you have got all that stuff churning over in your mind. "These folk got on my last, they're gonna pluck my last nerve." So here you come to church plucking nerves and all of this. But when you get into the midst of the saints and they start talking about how real and how good Jesus is, oh, it makes you want to shout. Then you say to your trouble, "I'm going to leave you here on the pew. Matter of fact, I'm going to leave you on the altar. Matter of fact, before I even get in church, I'm going to start having a different attitude because my God is good." You've got to have a joyful heart. Why do you drag all that stuff into your brand new day thinking that things are going to change? They went into that prison cell and they filled it up with songs. Ah, but you don't sing long and you don't pray long before God hears you. I'm about to shout on this one. If I haven't shouted before, I'm going to shout on this one. God responds to your joy. Now, what is he doing? He's responding to his gift. He gave you the gift of joy. Now he's responding to that gift of joy. And the Bible says at midnight, say midnight, there was a great, massive earthquake. Now, if you go back and you read your Bible, another earthquake took place when Jesus rose from the grave. But it was not the earthquake of Jesus rising. The angel had to come down and roll away the stone. And as David Jeremiah says, and that caused a great shaking of the earth. Some of you right now need a shake up. You need a shake up. Why do you need a shake up? Because every day you walk around, why is all this happening to me? It's happening to you. Shake yourself and say, wait a minute, I'm still making it. Step by step, I'm still making this journey. Wait a minute, why should my heart be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? His eye is on the sparrow. He watches over me. Now look at what happened. Earthquake, right? Earthquake. Now, here's what I believe. I'm just in my imagination, my sanctified imagination. I believe that Paul and Silas got to singing so good that the prisoners, you know, they got into it and they said, man, that was great. Sing another one. But before they could sing another one, God clapped. Now, that's just me. It's not in the scripture, but it's just me. I believe God said, boys, that song was so good, he clapped his hand and the jailhouse shook. Now, that's just me. Now, that's not good theology, but it's good imagination, right? Whatever God did, he caused the earthquake. And as Dr. David Jeremiah says, whenever God causes an earthquake, things move. All of a sudden now, things begin to shift in the spiritual realm. Because Paul and Silas did not go into that prison just to sing hymns, just to pray, even though that was a good thing. God had an appointment with a jailer and his house that needed to be saved. Are y'all listening to me? We think that we come to church just to clap our hands, just to rejoice. Hallelujah, God is good. God's putting some joy in you so that when people see that joy in you, they will say, I want some. Let me just put it to you this way. How many of y'all had large families growing up, right? You sit around the table and the greedy ones eat their food first, then they start looking at your food on your side of the table, and they start saying, this, you gonna eat that? Now I'm gonna tell you, just a warning, don't turn your head. Because whatever was on their plate is now, or on your plate is now on theirs. How many of y'all had that happen? Well, listen, when people see that you got joy, they're hungering for something because they don't have what you have. All that night, that jailer could have gone in and demanded that they shut up. And the earthquake, yes, it did happen, but there was another shaking that was going on. And it was a shaking in that jailer's heart. This is what happened. When he found out that all of those prisoners had their chains loosed and every door was open. There's another sermon for another time. That's another message in this. Remember that every scripture is a deep well. You keep dipping down into it, you're gonna bring something out. All right? But here's what happened with that jailer. He wanted to take his own life because he felt like he had not performed his duties of keeping those prisoners. So he wanted to take his own life, but Paul says, don't do that. We're all here. We escaped, but we didn't escape. We got out, but we didn't leave. You thought you had us bound, but God set us free. We're not running, amen. We are telling you that God is real. Here was a time where God himself gave a testimony that he can and will set his people free and didn't have to utter a word. Are y'all with me today? So now here's what happened. If the jailer said, now, if I can't leave, it's almost time for us to quit. I'm going to quit in a minute. It's time for us to, you know, he said, now, wait a minute. If y'all didn't leave and if you are here and you've been set free and you didn't leave and I get to keep my job because you're still here, even though every door is open. He said, now, I don't know what to do. Then he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Our nation is asking the wrong question. Amen. The question is not who's right, who's wrong. That's not the question. The question is not will you get rich if you do this. That's not the question. The question is what do you need to do to be saved? We're asking the wrong question. What can I do to have a... Look at somebody, tell them that's not the question. You keep asking those questions, you're going to get further and further and further away from what really needs to be known. The reason why I know I'm saved today is not because I've done good things. I asked that question to God and I said, what do I need to do to be saved? And the answer always come back the same way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The only way. It's the most important thing that we can ask in this generation that we're living in. And somehow the church has drifted away from that. We've gotten away from our main message. No wonder we're getting so weak. No wonder we're mad at each other. Because we're not happy. Get some Jesus. Get to know him. Walk with him. Have fellowship with him. Then other people's problems don't become your problem. Amen. Even when they got a problem with you, you tell them, I don't have a problem with you, nor do I have a problem with myself. I got Jesus and I got joy. Amen. Which brings us to the last lesson. I got to sit down. My time is almost up. Your freedom comes through your joy. Your freedom comes through your joy. God responds to the joy, right? Your circumstances don't control your joy, right? You learn to use your joy by singing and worshiping. But then lastly, your freedom comes through your joy. Why do you think the psalmist wrote all those psalms? Just because he felt poetic? No, he got in a mess. Some of it he got himself into. But then he learned, wait a minute. If I pray and I sing to God, I'm going to get set free. Many of you are allowing sin to take over your life. Because you won't remember that song. Maybe your grandma sang it to you. Maybe you heard it in church. Maybe something happened. Let me tell you about this little boy that he was from Atlanta. And he got kidnapped right in front of his house. Right in front of his house. It was in the Daily Bread a couple of days ago. And the kidnappers, according to the Huffington Post, they had him for about 3 hours. But from the moment that they kidnapped the boy, he started singing this song that Hezekiah Walker wrote, every praise is to our God. And the kidnappers told him, shut up. But then he go, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. They got so tired of that boy that after 3 hours, they put him out. They put him out. A 9-year-old, knowing that praise will give you freedom. Praise is what we need. Because your praise and your joy goes together. Your praise will cause you to erupt in joy, and your joy will want to praise God more and more because of the goodness of the Lord. The scripture said the jailer brought them into his house. Wait a minute. Hold up. A couple of hours ago, he threw them in jail, right? So, now this is going to help some of y'all on your job. You got folks that mad at you, so you mad at them. Tomorrow morning, y'all going to pick turns between who can huff and puff at each other, right? Okay, so here you go. And you're wanting them to change. The jailer threw them in jail a couple of hours earlier. And now he's bringing them into his house. Couple of hours later, what's the difference? When they sang and they prayed, the prisoners heard them, and the jailer was also a prisoner. I know that's deep. In order for you to hold somebody else down, you've been held down yourself. While you're mad at folk, you're holding yourself. You're at the same level. You know, it's hard. It's very difficult for you to fight with a fool and then somebody come by and figure out which one is the fool. I know this sounds strange. And some of our fighting and our striving and our wrestling is like fighting with a skunk. If you win, how are you going to tell somebody? Because now you got the odor all over you. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you take the attitude, I'm going to fight, I'm right, I'm all of this, all you're doing is stinking instead of thinking. All you're doing is holding yourself down. But when you start singing and you start rejoicing, now what you have begins to flow out and it begins to touch somebody else's life. I dare you all this week to share with somebody one scripture. I double dog dare you. I'm gonna draw the line. I'm gonna draw. Now, here's what I want you to do. Pick the folk you're mad at and just share a scripture. It might be, you know, John 3:16, whatever. And watch them respond to what you have. They responded. That jailer now is treating Paul and Silas differently because what they had, he's now got. He believed on the Lord Jesus. Look at what it says. And his entire household rejoiced. That word rejoice means to joy again. They kept on thanking and praising and magnifying God. And I know I got to go to my seat. I got to go to my seat, but I can't stop thinking about the goodness of the Lord. John Wesley, a great hymn writer, was on his way to Georgia. By the way, Georgia, and this is no reflection on the people from Georgia who've been to Georgia, who lived in Georgia. But Georgia used to be the penitentiary of the 13 colonies. You know, all the bad folk went to Georgia. Now, again, that's just the way it was. That's his history, all right? But he was on his way to Georgia to preach. And they encountered a fierce storm January the 25th. He's recorded it in his notes. He's recorded it in his novel that he was writing and his memories. He records that they had a fierce storm that was about to destroy the ship when they heard some folks from Germany called Moravians. And rather than them panicking like everybody else, they were singing over in a corner of the ship. I don't know the song that they were singing, but John Wesley said he was so moved by that he asked them, "Why are you singing?" They said, "Because we're not afraid of dying." And the only reason why you cannot be afraid of dying is that you know someone who controls death. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And Wesley said that he was so moved by that he thought about the necessity for hymns. So he began writing hymns, and hymn after hymn, one of which was "Jesus, the Lover of My Soul." And at the end of his life, he had written 8,989 hymns because he heard some Moravians singing in a storm. Saints of God, it's time for us to sing because we're happy. We sing because we're free. His eye is on the sparrow and he watches over me. When you need some joy, sing it into existence. Amen. Sing it as a reality because you know the one that knows you. Give the Lord a hand clap as we pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy that will not leave. Thank you for the joy that will not die. Your joy. We have the key, and we want to share that with others so that they can have joy. They can have joy. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that they don't have the joy of Jesus in their heart, speak to them, help them, that they too can be free. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. I'm going to ask that you stand. Thank y'all for coming out on a rainy day. You could have stayed home, pulled the covers up, but you knew that your joy wasn't in that bed. Your rest was. Amen. And you got the rest of the day to do that. But you came that you might share with the saints of God. So if there's someone today that if you're lost and don't know the Savior, we invite you to come. Little Trace Clemens, he came on last Sunday and said he wanted to be baptized. So that's a good thing. Maybe someone here wants to be baptized or you want to give your life to the Lord or rededicate your life. We invite you to come. Here's that one. Amen. We're going to prepare our hearts.